Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and I'm glad you're here. I'm glad Dr. William McEwen is here, too. Bill is, and by the way, he says I can call him Bill. Bill is a global practice leader at the Gallup Organization, where he works with major organizations on helping them build their brands. He's the author of Married to the Brand, a new book that I think you're going to find very helpful, Why Consumers Bond with Some Brands for Life. And he joins us from Sydney, Australia. Bill, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much.
And thank you for coming to us all the way from down under. How are things in Australia?
Well, things right now are a little warm since we're heading into summer here.
Yeah.
All the seasons are flipped, and so we're in the 90-degree range, and I know you're not.
Yeah. Well, how's the golf in Australia?
It's very good, but I find that I don't do any better at it than I would in the U.S.
Does the ball fly any better down there than it does in the U.S.?
No, just upside down, I think.
Are you enjoying Australia?
Very much. It's an easy country to enjoy.
Australia has a good brand, doesn't it?
They do, and it's interesting because it's a rather consistent image, and that's part of the value of a strong brand, is that it has a consistent promise, and the promise is one of kind of a pioneering, venturesome spirit, maybe the ultimate in where people look to go to pursue that entrepreneurial ethos that they might have. But also, it's kind of like the ultimate Wild West.
Well, you know, there is one other thing, Bill, that I've noticed about Australia. The people are very, very friendly. Have you ever met an unfriendly Australian? I never have.
Actually, never in the U.S. and never down here either.
My point is, if you're going to build a brand like Australia has built their brand, I mean, there's no such thing as an ugly Australian. They're all friendly. They're all beautiful. They're all hell fellow well met. They've always got a smile on their face, and that's an impressive part of their brand, isn't it?
I think it's an essential part, and as you mentioned, Jim, it really is the critical challenge for any brand manager, any company. It's not just to make a promise that might be kind of interesting and even attractive. It's to fulfill the promise. And mm-hmm. you have to fulfill the promise at each and every encounter. And if your promise is one of friendly warmth, you've got about 10,000 touch points where you can either keep that promise or destroy it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you can be served by somebody on the floor of your store, of a store, of a business, or whatever, and be really wowed by that person, and then they hand you off to the person who maybe is going to fulfill the order or take care of some element of the transaction, and if they're the opposite, well, that's the last taste that you have in your mouth, isn't it?
It is, and those tend to be very impactful tastes. I think that's the challenge in a service economy, which is really what we have. Whether you're a store, a hotel, a restaurant, you're touching people in lots of ways, and you have to fulfill your promise in every single one of those ways. And if you fall down, whether it's the person answering the phone, the person showing you to your table, the person apologizing to you for the wrong order, you've destroyed the relationship.
Yep.
And it doesn't matter how much energy and effort and money has gone into establishing the beginnings of a relationship or trying to seat the promise, if you break the promise, it's all over.
When you talk about being married to the brand, I like the way you use that term. I like the way you've written it in the book. I like the way you've explained it in the book. I used to call that customers you can't run off. And I like the way you said it better because it comes off the tongue better. I thought as I was going through your book, Bill, I was thinking about the brands that I'm married to. And you know, I like Coke. Mm-hmm. Pepsi, not so much. I have been shaving with the same Gillette Track 2 razor system for probably, I don't know what, 30 years, 35 years, long time. And I refuse to go to another one. I'm still trying to, you know, sometimes it's hard to find them. But I'm married to those. I like that. I like Colgate toothpaste. And it's why is that the case?
Well, I think every consumer wants a few brands that they feel they know, they trust, and that really fit them somehow. And the fit is one not just of serving your functional needs. I mean, shaving can be done by lots of different razor blades. But they fulfill your emotional needs, and you come to trust and rely on them. And in a complicated world, they represent a touch of simplicity. You go to the store and you just grab that, and there are other things for you to worry about. That's one thing you don't have to worry about.
Because of the trust.
You said that word very fast.
You said that word very fast, Bill, but we probably ought to land on that a little bit, shouldn't we?
Absolutely, because it's hard to establish. And I think that's one thing that companies didn't realize. I think companies confronted with the Internet and the dot-com boom assumed incorrectly that you could launch a brand and create a relationship during the 30 seconds of the Super Bowl that it takes to air an ad. And the truth is, brand relationships, whether it's razor blades or hotels, form slowly over time.
Mm-hmm.
And trust is something that it takes consistent performance to establish. Once you've got it, you can even violate the trust a little bit, and people will forgive you. But trust is also something that can be destroyed by a couple of encounters that violate the basic promise that the company made to you from the very beginning.
Do you think that the 20th century, would you agree with me when I say that the 20th century approach to the marketplace was more about manipulation, and the 21st century is you're not going to be as successful if that's what you try to do?
I don't know that it was about manipulation, although I do think the 20th century was a time when it seemed relatively easy to create initial connections with consumers.
Because a lot of times it was a first-time experience for them. First time, second car, first time refrigerator, first time microwave, et cetera, et cetera.
Exactly.
Yeah. Hold on to that thought. I'm going to get you to finish that. We come back after these messages, folks. I'm going to hear what Bill has to say about that. Get the rest of his answer right after these messages. Dr. William McEwen, the author of Married to the Brand, brand new book out right now. Great holiday present, great Christmas present. 20 after. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Stay with us. We'll be right back. I can't imagine anything. I can't get no satisfaction. We're back. It's 23 after the hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and my website is www.smallbusinessadvocate.com. Check it out when you get a chance. Don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter and our blog. You can get the blog right there on the homepage, or you can go to jimsblog.biz. Dr. Bill McEwen is our guest. He's the author of Married to the Brand, and it's a goal that you want, folks. You want to have your customers and your new customers, your prospects, you want to get them not only to do business with you, but you want them to be married to you. You want them to need what you want. What you have, and to want it only from you, but it's hard work. It's not easy to do, and Bill's helping us to understand how we should do that. And Bill, I cut you off to take a break. You were finishing up a response to me.
Yes, I was.
Have we both forgotten what that was?
Well, and then we got talking about.
I was talking about the manipulation versus the 20th century being a manipulative century, and the new century to me is more of a partnering with your customers rather than trying to manipulate them.
I think there's a recognition of the power that customers have in this millennium that probably wasn't there. The old assumption was that everything is about how I deliver my message to you and then how you receive it. and less about how you respond and then how I react to your response.
Mm-hmm.
I think this new century has to be a lot more about the duality, the reciprocality, the connection that goes both ways, because that's what marriages are all about. There are no one-way marriages. Not
right.
for long.
Right. It's got to be a relationship, doesn't it? And, you know,
absolutely.
You know, Bill, when you and I were coming up and with our families, with our parents and then our young families, if you wanted to buy something, whatever it might be, you could take about 60 seconds and you could identify the three or four places that you might be able to buy those things in your, you know, within driving range of, and within the time that you want to spend. But now you've got thousands, an infinite almost different opportunities to acquire things, and so you're much less likely to be manipulated. But at the same time, all those options make you, unconsciously, look for brands you can trust. So once you find them, you don't have to look anymore.
And I think that's a critical point, Jim, because the role of the brand really is, if it's doing its job, to help simplify your life a bit. As you say, where there used to be 3, 4, 5 alternatives, there may now be 3 or 4 or 500 alternatives.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of having to go from place to place, you can simply scroll down a number of websites. And I think the challenge, therefore, is to be one of those very special brands that people not only recognize in terms of brand names, but have some feeling for, that says, this is different, this is me, this is something I can know and trust. And in fact, I have kind of a passionate relationship with them. Maybe not passionate the same way that I might have passion for a football team, but passion in the sense that I feel good about it and how it makes me feel.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and don't customers also want to take a little bit of ownership, especially in a small business? Don't you think customers want to feel like they're a little bit part of your success story?
Absolutely. And I think that's a great point. I think not just for small businesses. I think small businesses recognize that more. But customers take great pride in being associated with companies and brands that are growing and where they feel they're contributing. But most important, where they feel their contribution is recognized and appreciated.
Well, you know what? Whenever I call one of my favorite restaurants for a reservation and somebody answers the phone that I know is a new employee, I say, I tell them my name and I say, I'm one of your customers. You know, I want them to know that, you know, that I'm coming back. And I like to see what their response is, you know. And sometimes they leave me wanting, sometimes they don't.
I think that announcing, and essentially what you're doing is what customers around the globe are doing when they walk into a store, when they even answer something, a response on the website. They are creating an opportunity for you to recognize the connection.
Mm-hmm.
And I think in maybe an increasingly anonymous world, we still want to be recognized. We want to be recognized as a number, but as a person and as someone that is helping that company grow.
And you talk about that in your book. You talk about the places where they know your name, like the old Cheers model. You know, you have a place where they know your name. That's another great example of how you talk about how to build the brand through in your book, Married to the Brand. Bill, is there a website that you want to send us to?
Well, there's the book is available on Amazon.com and Barnes & Noble and their website. But there's also our Gallup.com, GALLUP.com
All right.
website, and the book is featured there.
Married to the Brand. It's why consumers bond with some brands for life. When are you coming back to the U.S.?
Well, I'll be coming back in January for a visit, but I'll be coming back for good in August.
All right. Well, be sure, if we don't talk to you between now and then, be sure to check in with us when you get back, and we'll do this again.
I absolutely will. Thanks a lot.
Dr. William McEwen, ladies and gentlemen, Married to the Brand. He's calling. We're talking to him all the way from Sydney, Australia. Is this a great world or what? I'll be right back, 29 after, with our good friend Keith Ferrazzi. Stay with us.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.